Elizabeth. I'm still a compulsive eater. I've been a compulsive eater for a long time, and I'm just thrilled to see three new faces here. Thank you so much for showing up. And I want you to know that this is my story, and what works for me may not work for you, particularly because I practiced the program in somewhat, not unique, that would make me terminally unique and special, but in a way that works for me. But I know there are many ways to practice this program. And so as a newcomer, I suggest when you hear somebody share that you resonate with, go up and talk to them and ask them more about how it is that they're working their program. So I'm going to go way back to my childhood, and I'm just going to do 5 minutes on how I became a compulsive eater. I was born, believe it or not, before World War II. So when World War II showed up, no laughter in the audience. When World War II showed up, I was a young girl living in San Francisco with my sister, and my parents were already divorced, and there was a lot of problems in the family, which I go to another program about, so I'm not going to bring it into this program. But between the fear of San Francisco being bombed and the fact that our family wasn't doing very well, my two aunts who were in education decided the wisest thing would be to send my sister and me to a boarding school in the peninsula in Los Gatos. I was five. So that began a history of having everybody that I depended upon removed. And the last one, which was the most painful, was a woman who taught me how to speak. I was born with a cleft palate, and I was a lazy speaker. My sister was my translator, and I'd go bloppity bloop, and she'd say, "Sissy wants a cookie," and I'd get it. But they separated us into, I was in the youngest age group, and this beautiful young Japanese woman named Misaki took care of me for about 9 months. I still can never say this without getting teary. And one morning I woke up and she was gone. So it's like everybody I ever looked to for support and nurture was pretty well erased from my life. So that's the background of how I use food. Food was a comfort. There was also anxiety about food. When I didn't have my cleft palate repaired until I was two or three, and they do it sooner now. So there was a lot of anxiety about, am I getting the nourishment I need? Because unfortunately, graphically, I would swallow something and would come out of my nose instead of down my throat. I didn't have what's called a uvula. I still don't, which makes things go down rather than up. So I found in working the program and getting professional help, there was a lot of anxiety about if I didn't eat, I'd die. And one of the steps I took after getting in the program, with the encouragement of somebody outside of the program who was a professional, was to experiment with fasting to see if I would die, because you know I had this unconscious belief that if I always had prophylactic food in my car. If I was eating healthy, it'd be apple. If I wasn't eating healthy, it'd be something else. So I did. I experimented with that, and I went 5 days with plenty of liquids. But that was a very powerful learning experience, that I wasn't going to perish if I didn't eat, and I could go quite a long time and be okay. I unfortunately did not want my family to, my children, I had three daughters on 5 years, bang, 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 and I didn't want them to get fat the way I did. I got fat when I started maturing, 13, 12, I was skinny, not skinny, but normal, and then I became heavy, and a lot of it was nurture eating. I would stop and get something sweet and cold before I went home because home wasn't a fun place to be. All three of my daughters were very normal looking kids, and around seventh grade they also, so I think there was a genetic component to that. And I made a lot of mistakes. I fortunately never said anything. I was at least smart enough not to say anything because I had been very shamed for my weight. Mm. But my behavior was not healthy. One of my daughters said to me a few years ago, "Mom, all we had in the house was sticks and twigs." And it's true, I was just so anxious to have everybody be healthy, and it didn't work. And all three of my daughters were overweight. One of them was extremely overweight, and later lost a great deal of weight in order to be a mother herself. But I do think there's a genetic component as well as an emotional component to being overweight. Oh, perfect. Thank you. Moving on to my next little. I'm working off of a mind map I did yesterday, and we have a wonderful writing meeting and OA where we write for 10 minutes, and I just kind of did a mind map where. I want to do a reading from Voices of Recovery, which was the 21st of November, because it really explains about how I work the program. It said, when I arrived at the doors of OA, food was my master. In order to be released from its grip, I committed my food to a sponsor daily and abstained from specific foods, eating behaviors, situations, and people who were known triggers. I also attended numerous meetings. Although necessary, these actions put me at the opposite end of the food obsession. And then this is the next paragraph that resonates with me. If abstinence is to bring about a sane and useful way of life, I must have a plan that I can live with forever. This plan must be flexible when the situation warrants, allowing me to commit my food or not, to go places I had avoided, to eat some foods I had relinquished. Once abstinence has become a habit, these things are all possible. If I find myself on unsteady ground, I must again take the actions that worked for me in the beginning. Today, by God's grace, I have balance in my life and live in a peaceful coexistence with food. And this was kind of the story of how I worked the program when I first came into the program, which was a while ago. I had lost a significant, a lot of weight after the birth of our third daughter, but I was definitely a yo-yo dieter, and I was tired of, you know, the ups and downs. And when I came in, I worked a much more, I'm using the word rigid, which is just the name I put on it. You don't have to put a description like a program, but it was kind of black and white thinking. You did this, it was just this way, it was very precise, you knew when you were off and you knew when you were on. And that worked for quite a while, but it didn't work indefinitely. So I had periods of time when I would be able to work the program, then I couldn't work the program, then I couldn't work the program. And what I have found is there's a little kid in me. My main name, my first name is Elizabeth. My big sister couldn't say it, so she called me Sister, and I ended up being Sissy Burke for years and years. In fact, I can remember going through rushing a cow and somebody in one of the houses saying, Sissy Burke, oh God, I thought I'd dropped that. Anyhow, that was my name. So I still refer to my little kid as Sissy. And a Sissy needs a lot of nurturing. She also has a lower lip that sticks out and can be very stubborn. And if you were to tell her that she could never again do X, Y, or Z, she would rebel. Eventually she would rebel. And now this is why I say to you newcomers, be careful, don't, this is just me. This is what worked for me. So over the number of years with the program, what I've had to figure out is a program that can, like it says in this on this page, that I could do day after day for the rest of my life. And I have figured it out, and it looks different years. I just was sharing that I'm in my 80s. If you did the math, you could have figured that out with the World War II. But I'm shrinking. I went to the doctors, and our whole family's tall. And I used to be 5'10", and now I'm 5'7". It's like, my BMI is all screwed up. I didn't do anything wrong. So, anyhow, but it does make a difference. As you get older, you have to eat less. That's just the sad reality of life. And it's not fair, but that's life. So I've learned that what works for me in the program is I have to be very kind and gentle to myself. And I have, because I didn't have a nurturing parent, in another program, somebody said to me once, make up a loving, think of your loving grandmother and ask her, what would she be saying to you in this situation? I'm talking about good self-care. And I didn't have one, so I made one up. And she's this wonderful fairy godmother. She wears a red dress with sparkles, and she has this wand that sprinkles contentment fairy dust on me all the time. It's terrific. So she is a guardian angel for me in that she is the loving, boundary-setting adult that I've missed. And she'll say, gosh, I wonder why you don't feel very well. Could it be that you ate? Maybe next time, you know, you can just have one scoop instead of three or whatever. Thank you. So I use my fairy godmother, and the big point I wanted to make in my section two of my 5 minutes is that I love OA because it's a very loving and nurturing program. It's not punitive. And what works for me is support and not shame. Mm. And so I always lean on the support. What is the kind and helpful way that I can work my program to encourage me to stay on track? And we talked about abstinence a little bit. What doesn't work for me is to number my dates of abstinence because that's black and white thinking, and then if I fell off, then I'm shamed. So we had on this questionnaire my date of abstinence. I don't have one. I used to have abstinence date, and I'd get 1 or 2 years of abstinence and be all puffy, and then, you know, I'd fall off and feel terrible. So, but that works for me. It doesn't mean that, it means I have to be much more honest with myself and not delude myself. And the way I stay honest is I do weigh every week, every Monday morning. I'm too anxious to only weigh once a month, but I weigh every morning. I have a 3 pound leeway thing, and when I get towards the top of it, I think, oh, now I need to make some. My fairy godmother says, Sissy, it's time for you to cut back a little bit. Okay. All right, so I'd like to wrap up with the third part of my share, and that is, you know, we talk about the tools of the program, and I'm an artist, and I saw a photograph of this farmer who had made a garden gate using all of his farm equipment tools and hammered them up. I have copies for you. I'll pass them around. Can you see this? He hammered them up to his on his gate, and this you can start those around. I love this image because it reminds me that I have a lot of different tools I can use. I have tools that are official tools that most people use, like